129. 129.
I remembered it was my turn, Gene, this time. Hello. It is good to be here this morning, House of the Lord. Just welcome and join in with us as we worship and praise God and break the word here in just a little bit. Brother Russell was talking about St. Patrick's Day and the heritages. And, I happen to have our old family tree from years and years ago, so kind of know where my ancestry come from. I love reading that stuff. Some of my ancestors came over in 1610 with William Penn from Holland. And the other side of my family came from Irish descent. So I'm kind of a mixture there. But it is good to know your heritage. But more importantly, it's important to know your destination. And I know where I'm going. I'm glad you're here this morning. The sun's shining nice and bright outside, a little bit cool. Every time Cindy's tulip tree tries to bloom, it frosts and they fall off. But one of these days, it's going to go ahead and turn spring. I think Russ said Wednesday was first day of spring. I don't know for sure, but it feeling a little more like spring out there. Welcome to Oak Hill. Hope you had a good class this morning. We did, as always. If you didn't make it to Sunday school class, you missed a blessing. Come and join in. All right, I have a few announcements this morning. It's kind of going to get busy a little bit as we go forward. From here, this morning is our special offering for Brother Walter as we continue to help him in his battle against cancer with our prayers especially, but also with our help to pay some of those bills. Brother Walter had another treatment Thursday. I haven't talked to him since, but they pretty well knock him for a loop. So that's, I'm sure, why he's not here this morning. next Sunday morning, the 24th. Then will be our youth fund offering. Come prepared for that. Then March 31st, that night, we'll be singing in fellowship. So we'll gather over here. We'll sing for ever how long Gene wants to sing. And if you got a special or something, come and sing it, right?
That's right.
Okay. And then we'll break from here, go across the way, and have more fellowship and some finger foods. That means whatever we bring, you can't use a fork to eat it. You just eat it, right?
Lick it off the fingers.
All right. Come plan on being here for that. It's always a good time. Then April the 6th, that Saturday, will be our church cleaning. That's at 9 o'clock in the morning. So, Donna, that gets in the way of my fishing a whole lot.
Mine too bad.
Okay.
It'll be warm enough to fish.
So here's what I want to say. Everybody come so we can get done quick, then we can go fishing, right? Okay. So we gather and clean up the yard to make it presentable, and we always want to have God's house and God's ground and God's place at least as good as our own, right? So come and help us do that. We have a good time, too. Enjoy. We enjoy anywhere we're at, right? Somebody asked me one time, said, "You have fun all the time?" I said, "I do my very best no matter where I'm at." Right? Joy of the moment. That'll be 9 o'clock that Saturday morning. Then April the 13th on a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. will be the Garland County Singing Convention here at Oak Hill. Brother Travis has more details if you want, but I know everybody's invited, so come and listen to some good singing, and Brother Travis will probably let you sing, won't you?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Will you let us play the piano too?
Yeah.
No, that's bad. I wish I could. Come and enjoy that. I know it'll be a lot of good singing. Also, y'all going to eat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're going to eat at
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, they're going to eat. How are you going to sing after that?
We're not.
Oh. Okay. Y'all notice they got 2 whole hours of eating figured in this schedule. So it'd be a good time. Come for that. I like the 2-hour eating time. Sounded better. But plan on coming to that if you can. June 10th through the 14th. Now, that's a little ways away, but we need to be preparing for that. Will be our vacation Bible school. So Miss Cindy Crook will give you something to do, please. Right? There's a sign-up sheet back there on the back. Just put your name down. She'll put you where she needs you. She's going to anyway. I'm just kidding. If there's something you want to do, mark it on the list back there. I know she'd be happy to accommodate. Use all the help we can get. All right. Nursery attendance this morning, Sam and Donna. Next Sunday will be Michelle and Holly. Yes, ma'am.
You skipped Easter.
I did skip Easter, didn't I? How did I do that? I love Easter. April the 21st will be Easter sunrise service at Sam and Donna Johnson's, and that's when you turn on our road, on Danville Road, up over the hill to the left down there. They've got a beautiful place. We meet down there. We'll have a time as we get a little closer. And we'll have a sunrise service there. Then we will come over here to the church. The guys cook breakfast. And then we will transition right into our regular worship service after that. Then we'll dismiss for the rest of the day. If you can come, you'll enjoy it. It's wonderful.
Page 168. 168.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell, but Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God. He set me free.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here on this beautiful Lord's Day. Beautiful sun shining outside. The wind's kind of died down some. Friday was just kind of brutal. It just blew my hair piece everywhere. We're going to sing a song for you this morning. It's entitled My Heavenly Home. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about your heavenly home? You know, Jesus gave us a beautiful picture of what our heavenly home's going to be like when we get there. It even calls it a mansion. Can you believe we're not going to have to live in these earthly houses anymore? We're going to get to live in a mansion made by God Himself. And when the angel over, if you read, see, I'm the kind of guy that I like to skip what's in the middle and go to the end. I've read the end of the book. And when the angel gave John over in Revelations, gave him the rod and told him to measure out the holy city, it was 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. There's going to be a mansion for all of us up there. And you know, when you think about it in earthly terms, think about all of the things that we ain't going to have to do when we get there. Now, my wife just cringes when I say stuff like that because she don't like the word ain't. But anyway, Fred, think about it. We ain't going to have to pay an electric bill no more. We ain't going to have to pay a water bill. We ain't going to have to pay taxes no more. Because he has got the most wonderful place waiting for us when we get there. And I can't wait. But we're going to sing this song for you, and I think you're going to like it. I'm looking away.
Glory to share.
Brother Sam comes up to preach this morning, I know he's raring to go and got a really good message for us. But we have another treat this morning. Brother David is home from Oklahoma, and he has got a piano special that he's going to bring us this morning. So, Brother David, come right on up.
It's good to be here today. This song is called The Eternal City.
Good, David. Thank you very much.
That was wow.
Eternal home and heavenly city, and we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning as well. I try real hard not to pay attention to what Gene's going to sing for the next, because I want the Lord to lead, and He always does, and goes right along with what I'm going to talk about this morning. So we're going to read a little bit out of John 4, and then we're going to the front of the book, and then we're going all the way to the back. So John 4, Exodus 17, then Revelation 22. So I like that last chapter of the book as well. It is good to be here. God has blessed us with such talent. The choir sounds wonderful, and then David always loved to hear you play. God's blessed you with a talent. You keep using it. Thank you for sharing it. All right. Does anybody here not watch TV or listen to the radio at all? No, you live in a hole? Because it seems to me like that every time I turn on the TV or the radio, there's some kind of other scandal going on. This world we live in is, these people are crazy. They're willing to do anything to get what they want in this life. I know we talk about this a lot, but it just really blows my mind that
people are so willing to do anything to get the pleasures that just last for a short time here in this life, but they don't seem to be willing to do anything to prepare for eternity. If it isn't some politician working angles to put money in his or her pocket, it's some rich person that's willing to spend $500,000 to get their kid in the school of their choice. It's not just the rich and famous either. That's just the ones we hear about. That's the ones that we see all the time. It's people of all walks of life who are willing to do anything to give their children, I guess, what they wanted. I'm not sure about there. Now, I want you not to misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with having things, but don't let the things have you. There's a big difference. We grew up pretty poor, which we had more when I was a kid than my mom and dad did when they were a kid, and they desired to give us more than what they had. And I remember stories of my dad and mom and their family. They were poor. I mean, they got one pair of shoes a year, stuff like that. But you know what they did have? They had a good family and a good spiritual upbringing. They didn't have a lot of money. We grew up when I was a kid. We had more than they did, but we didn't just have everything we wanted, but we had, I wore shoes the whole year long. We had a dry home and a good home and a good Christian atmosphere. So mom and dad gave us more than they had, but most especially they gave us that spiritual background, base, foundation. We wanted our kids to have really more than we did, I guess, but I'm not sure that we succeeded physically doing that, but we passed on the spiritual background, base, a foundation. We didn't have, hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able just to give them whatever they want, but I want you to know something this morning, parents, that's not what really matters anyway. It's the other part that's important. Nothing wrong with having things. Don't let the things have you. In the end, it doesn't really matter if you go to a prestigious school and end up with a bunch of fancy titles, pieces of paper that let the whole world know that you are, quote, somebody in this life. What really matters is that you end up with Christ. In your lives, in the lives of your children. It doesn't really matter if your kid can throw a football 100 yards and hit a fly on the top of the goalpost, or can throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Really, what matters is that they grow up with the spiritual foundation, and that foundation being Jesus Christ. You want to be a success in your life, pass Jesus on to them, and you will be. People seeking fame and fortune, and all the while, they're missing the mark. It got me to thinking about a story that I've used before. Matt Ammons, he was had worked his whole life to prepare for the Olympics. In 2004, he was competing in the 50-meter three-position rifle shooting, and he was an amazing athlete, a remarkable marksman, and the final round came up, and he was so far ahead that all he had to do was hit the target. He didn't have to make a bullseye or shoot the 10 ring or any of that stuff. All he had to do was hit the target, and for some unknown reason, whenever he got to position and started to shoot his target, he shot at his competitor's target next to him. And he hit his competitor's target, And his shot would have scored enough to win him the gold if he had hit his target, but he aimed at the wrong target. Instead of winning gold, he came in eighth place. What I think that we need to understand this morning is that we need to make sure that no matter how good we are at whatever we do, that we are aiming for the correct target. Amen. It's not fame and fortune. It's not money. Don't let the things have you. Aim at the right target. As the songs and the special and the music and the choir was singing about our eternal home, our heavenly home, and all these things, it brings me back to what really hit me after hearing all this stuff that was going on in the news, is that, you know, truly what's important in our life is that living water that is given to us by Jesus. It's that spiritual connection with God. It's that salvation experience. And it got me to thinking, there was another song that I heard on the radio that was talking about the living water that flows freely. And I forgot to jot the title down real quick, and so I couldn't quote the words to it, but it kept playing over and over in my head, that this water that God gives us, this living water, this flows freely from the throne of God. And all we have to do is just dip it up and drink it. You know, you can live for a long time without eating. There's been people on record that have lived for over a year without any food. Now, that's amazing in and of itself. But only a few days without water. No water, no life. And that's the picture that we get from God's word, that if we don't have access to the river of life water, we don't have life after we draw our last breath. In John chapter 4, we read, starting in verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Get your mind wrapped around it. In that area over there where they were, there is a lot of sand and dryness. Literally, I believe that these pictures of the people drawing water from the well is really a picture that where the water is, there is the life. In that area, they can grow crops abundantly when they can have water. Without the water, there is no life. This Samaritan woman, she came down to the well to get this water that for whatever reason they were using it to drink it, cook, wash, whatever, was literally the way they survived. They had to go down there. You know, we have the luxury of turning on a faucet. They had to go down there, and most of the wells, they had to remove a top, and they had to let a bucket down, and they dipped up water, and then they had to cover the top back up. Carry the water. Jesus was sitting there, and this Samaritan woman, there's a whole other story there I don't want to get into this morning, but this Samaritan woman, Jesus said to her, give me to drink. Look down in verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, y'all know what the gift of God is? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's his son. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus freely gives us that which we cannot give ourselves, the living water, life eternal. Exodus chapter 17. Think with me for a moment. We go back. The children of Israel have been in bondage. They had, through God's grace and through God's man, Moses, had been led out of Egyptian bondage. They had left there, and they had crossed the Red Sea, and now they were wandering in the desert because of their unbelief, because they didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. They were wandering in the desert. Now, we're going to read starting in verse 1. Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. I mean, so thirsty that you were willing to drink out of a mud hole, out of a rut in the road. I have. They were that thirsty in the desert. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" Stop there for just a second. Why would he say that? Well, let me tell you, because of everything that they had went through, and because that he had delivered them, because that he had parted the Red Sea, these people should have known that God would provide. Listen to me, church friend, this morning. You should have no doubt that whatever situation you're in, God will provide, if we'll just trust him. "Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt, up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children, our cattle, with thirst?" Moses cried to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me." Excuse me. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, think about this, the children of Israel. Some estimates around 3 million people, all their cattle in the desert. And God says to Moses, "Go up here and take the elders, and I will stand before you on the rock." So many pictures there. And take the rod, the one that you parted the Red Sea with, the one that you smote the river with, and smite the rock. And water came gushing out of the rock. Guess what the rock is? It's Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus. He's the rock. He smote the rock, and water came forth abundantly. And think, this is no little trickle of water. This is not a gallon or two. This is enough water to water all of these people and their animals that God gave them freely. Oh, how soon may we forget the things that God does to us. Numbers chapter 20. They'd been wandering around for a while. They were thirsty again, and they doubted again. And in verse 7 of Numbers chapter 20, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Now, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord that he's commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not. Is that a misstatement in the word? He struck the rock, and the water came out. Wait a minute. He didn't tell him to smite the rock. You see, Moses was like us. He was human, and he remembered that he smote the rock. And even though God had told him to speak to the rock, in his brain there's a malfunction like we have times. And he smote the rock twice. Well, God being the gracious God that he is, the water came out anyway. But listen to me, friend. There's consequences when we don't believe and when we don't follow. But I didn't like that scripture there, preacher. I like this other one better. It's all God's word. You better like them all. Amen. Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Now God did give them the water, but Moses, because of his disobedience, didn't get to go into the promised land. Listen to what God is saying. I will give you the water of life freely. Revelations. I love Revelations. Absolutely love it. The pictures we see here is that the children of Israel could not give themselves what they needed most desperately, which was water that gives them life, but God could. Have you drank of the river of the water of life, which God gives freely? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, that river lasts forever. Remember the woman at the well? And Jesus told her, if you knew who I was, and if you had asked me for water, I would have given it to you, and it lasts forever. You would never thirst again. You know, this life that we're living in, this world that we're living in, I think about it much like the travels and the tribulations that the Israelites went on in their journey. Could we not learn from our past mistakes? Shouldn't we be able to learn from their mistakes? My dad used to tell me a lot of things I should have done and try to help me through life without so many knocks and beats and bruises. I didn't like listening. I guess I liked those knocks and knee bruises and had to learn it for myself, right? But he tried to teach me. He tried to save me some heartaches. Listen to me, friend. This old life is hard. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a winner. It ain't your money. It ain't your fame and fortune. It's all about Jesus. Should we not have listened? God recorded in his word what the children of Israel went through. Us stupid Christians can't read God's word and learn. Trust God. drink of the water that lasts forever. Listen, we preach and teach that there's only one way to get to heaven. That's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Folk, that's scripture and verse. That is the Bible. That is the gospel. Jesus is the rock upon which we build our foundation. And listen to me, when you build upon that foundation, there are promises made to you by God. Thank you, God. Thank you. That mansion Gene was talking about. You know, there's songs we sing about a little cabin over in Glory Land. Guess what? I'd be happy with a cabin, but I'm not getting one. I'm getting a mansion. Amen. I'm looking forward to my mansion. I want it to be right next to yours so that we can spend eternity together. But guess what? I'm getting a mansion. And if you know Jesus, so are you. And look what it's going to be like after this life. After this world, this, my friend, is the beginning of eternity we're going to read about right here. After the tribulation period, after the 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ, now begins eternity. And look what we got. Verse 1. And he being Jesus, 22. I'm sorry. Go all the way to the end. Revelations 22, we're going to begin in the first verse. And he being Jesus, remember in the beginning of Revelations, John said that Jesus had showed him this. So this is John relating what Jesus himself had shown him. All right. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. This is in the eternity part, okay? Get that in our brain. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, there's a lot of stuff we could preach about. I want to stay on the water, and I want you to see what we have. We have, excuse me, we have in our presence at that time God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have the city. We have the water flowing freely from the throne, and we have the tree of life, and we have us. And so shall we ever be with God. He's giving us for all eternity what we need. Food and water. Amen. All we have to do is accept what he's done for us now. And look at verse 3. I love this verse. There shall be no more curse. What curse he talking about? He's talking about the curse of sin. There will be no more sin, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I thank God I'm going to get to serve God forever. And look at verse 4. I love this chapter. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign, how long? Forever and ever. I'm going to get to see God face to face. I don't have $500,000 to pay nobody nothing. And I don't use good English either, and I don't care. But listen to me. Where's David Stone? Listen to me. Here's what I do have. I have Jesus Christ that dwells in here. And because of that, I will get to be in the presence of God. I will get to see his face. I We'll get to talk with him. I will get to drink of that river that flows freely. I will get to eat from that tree of life. Not because of what I did here physically, other than accepting Jesus Christ. No light needed. No food needed. I didn't say you wasn't going to be able to enjoy it, but you don't need it. No water needed. He furnishes it all. The light, the food, the river. God gives us everything we need. Let me tell you something, friend. You can have something in this life that's more valuable than any piece of paper that this world might give you. You can have something in this life that's more valuable than anything that those people out there that don't have it are seeking after. And it's called eternal salvation. And it's free. And it only comes from God. This river of life that flows freely through God is given to us by Him. You know, this old life is hard. There's a lot of things in our world today, if you'll just open your eyes and open your ears and listen just a little bit, that's pointing to the fact that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled as we speak. I've told y'all many times that I believe that we're living in the greatest time ever. Sometimes people think I'm crazy, but I believe it because we can see end time prophecies being fulfilled every day. Amen. We're living it. Time is short. Why are we focusing on things of the world instead of eternal things? There's nothing wrong with having things, but don't let the things have you. You see, because the most important thing in this life is free. And it's given to you by God. Amen. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I pray that each and every one of us here this morning does. But if you don't, you can. But listen to me. If you know Jesus, you can share this living water with those around you. And that's the important stuff. It's not about what kind of vehicle we drive or what kind of home we live in. It's about where we're going and how we're getting there. Amen. And that's through the blood. Amen. When we drink of the water freely given. Listen, this world needs a big dose of Jesus. All those people that do these stupid things like going in and killing people just for no reason. You know what they need? Mostly they need Jesus. People that have the thoughts that are destroying our nation, I want to tell you what they need. I don't care which side of the political fence you're on, it doesn't matter to me. I want to tell you what they need. They need Jesus. Amen. And when they get Jesus, then they'll get on the right side, which is God's side. And guess what that does? That makes things better for us. Are you praying for a nation? Are you praying for our leaders? Are you praying for our churches? For our pastors? Let me tell you something. Perilous times are upon us. But we're still serving a true and living God. Amen. And He has the power. He has the power to change your life, to change our life, to change this nation back into the nation that He created it to be. I pray that God would keep me and that he would build a hedge around me, that I don't let Satan in this church through me. Amen. And I hope that's your prayer as well. I pray that God would send us who he would have us to have to become members of this church, that we might work together for the furtherance of his kingdom. And I hope that's what you're praying for as well. I pray that God would open doors for me to be able to share Jesus Christ with someone that don't know him as Lord and Savior, or someone that's out of church and out of fellowship. I pray that that's what you're praying as well. Because the answer is really simple. Remember that old saying, keep it simple, stupid? It's true, isn't it? The simple answer is Jesus Christ. Whatever's going on. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. The world is going to get Jesus one of these days. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I submit to you, it's better that you do it on this side of then than later. Don't get down. Don't think doom and despair. We have hope. We have a promise from God. Our mansion is waiting. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like, Gene. It's God that spoke everything that we know into existence, made all the beauty that surrounds us. And in this springtime, we see the blooms and the blossoms and the grass growing and the leaves growing. And God is amazing. Just look around. And then Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's had 2,000 some odd years to prepare that place. Heaven, we can't even imagine how great it's going to be. Make your preparations to go today. Accept Jesus before it's too late. Maybe you've got off over there somewhere in the weeds. I want you to know something. God didn't leave you. You left him. If you're over there, though, know this, that God loves you. And no matter what situation you find yourself in, God wants to help you. And all you have to do is seek him. The scriptures tell us to seek ye first him, his kingdom, his righteousness. All this other stuff then will be added to you. Peace, happiness, joy, contentment. I didn't say he's going to give you a big bank account, but he'll enable you to be happy wherever you are. This morning, as we close this service, I pray that you're where God wants you to be. I dare say that none of us are where God wants us to end up, or he'd take us to be with him. We still live this life one day at a time, and this is just a journey. So use it constructively and become the you that God would have you be. I want to ask Gene and Linda Gale to come. If you would stand with me for a word of prayer. Bow with me, please. Our fathers, we come to you at this time. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be in your house, for the blessings that you freely give us. I thank you for Jesus and the pictures in your word that show us that he freely gives us this water of life that lasts forever. I thank you, Lord, for the pictures and the assurance in your word that shows us that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we are eternally saved. And I'm looking forward to the day when I get to move into my new mansion and
can be for you. And you know the hearts, Lord, of each and every one that's here this morning. Oh, Lord, you know your plans in our life. I pray, Lord, that we would have open hearts and minds and be receptive of the leadership of the Spirit. However you would lead us. Help us to listen. And when you say strike the rock, strike it. But when you say speak to the rock, speak to it, Lord. Help us to focus on what you would have us to do that you might be honored and glorified. I give you all the thanks for the things that you've done for Jesus Christ in the blood that he shed to cover my sins. The sins of the nation. The sins of the world. For all eternity. May your will be done in each and every heart here this morning. Amen.
Page 187.
Let Jesus in. Not just as your Savior, but as your